Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
We are blessed because we have, we are going to hear a very encouraging message this morning from Pastor Brian, and just want you to welcome him. Pastor Brian, come on up. Don't need to do a whole lot of introducing. Take it away, brother.
All right, thanks. Good morning.
Good morning.
If you have your Bibles, open up to Romans chapter 5. As most of you know, we live in Mozambique, one of the poorest countries in the world. But as I think about the hope that we have in Jesus, think about the poverty that's in Mozambique, but for those who in Mozambique that know Jesus and have come to relationship with him, just the riches of what they're going to be enjoying for all of eternity. As bad as it can get in these third world countries, people that have faith in Jesus have an amazing hope. And we have been ministering now for 7 years in Mozambique, and we've seen a lot of people touched and a lot of fruit in that time. It's been incredible. It's been fun. We've been delighted to be able to receive donations from this church, and we've been able to build a church. I remember several years ago, this church sponsored the building of a church in a place called Lugela, which definitely you'll never find on a map. Maybe if you get a real detailed map of Mozambique, you might find the place. But there's a church now there because this church here gave the funds for them to be able to build a church building with Pastor Zitu, who went on and planted two more churches right in that same area and has a desire to do, he's doing that net right now, do discipleship in that whole entire district of Lugela, not just the one city, but the whole entire district. And then we got some other donations from you again, because this church has been incredibly generous to our ministry. And in that same community, that first church plant was able to build a house for one widow and six orphans. The one widow kind of takes care of the six orphans, and it's got a metal roof. It's one of the nicest houses in the area. We were able to send the money for them to be able to build a well for the community as well. And then closer to where we are, we were able to build a duplex. We call it a duplex. It's two little houses. We have a common wall for widows and orphans. You can see that building. It's on our YouTube, Brian and Lorena Wood. Just go to YouTube. It's right on the homepage there, that block. And it's got a kind of a roof. It's not metal. It's actually looks like it's made out of asbestos, but they swear it's not. Beautiful buildings, and we just bought, or we're in the process, we haven't actually paid for it yet. Right in front of there's an acre of land. We have six widows' houses and orphans that we take care of in the community, and we just bought about an acre in front of that where they can plant and we can build some more houses, and all those funds came from this church. So it's just a blessing to see how this church has blessed the people of Mozambique. Romans chapter 5. Amazing scripture about the amazing love of God for us. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since you have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though a good man for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that through you we have peace and this amazing grace we've entered into, amazing hope. Thank you, Lord, that you have more than demonstrated your love for us, that you would suffer and die for us in our place. So we just want to thank you for that today. I pray, God, that you would instill in each person that's here a supernatural hope for amazing good things that are to come. Lord, give us confidence in the peace, the grace, the future that we all have. Give us understanding. Build up our faith. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've traveled quite a bit, we were less than a year in Indonesia, and then we were 5 years in the Philippines, and then we came back and pastored in San Juan Capistrano for 14 years, and then we've now been in Mozambique for 7 years. And that time, as we've traveled about, it always amazes me how many people are in the church who consider themselves Christians who do not understand the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just real quickly, so you don't forget, I go around all of Mozambique and everywhere. I always make sure everybody knows three letters, and it's PAC, P-A-C. P is for problema, as we actually speak Portuguese there. So everybody's got a problem. What's the problem? We're separated from God because of our sin. It works out because sin is also starts with a P in Portuguese as well. So we use that P for problem and for sin. And the solution is simply A, arrepender, which means to repent, and then crer, which is to believe. So it's very simple. I want to make sure everybody knows it. We got a problem. It's sin. We can't see God because God is holy, and we can't enter into his presence because it's holy, and we're not holy because we're sinful. So I teach problem. So I get everybody to say P, P, problem, and make sure everybody knows that. Then I teach everybody A, big A, and I'll write a big A up there. Well, just with my finger, I'm not literally, but so they can see it. And they all go, arrepender, arrepentimento, to repent. And then a big C, because the C is the most important part, creer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all centered around who Jesus is and what he did for us. And so we try to make sure and present the gospel, but we try not to do it when we tell leaders who are confused about the gospel. We always make sure and say, now I want to teach you guys how to teach the gospel. I don't say you guys are dumb, you don't know the gospel. I say we want to teach you how to teach others about the gospel, and you just have to remember three letters. Now, if you guys remember those three letters, you can share with anybody in the world. There's a problem. What's the problem? Sin. It separates us from God. What's the solution? A, repent. Well, A, sorry. R, I guess it'd be. We got a P-R-B, and if you want to do it in English. For us, it's PAC. And everywhere I go, I say, PAC. What's PAC? I do that because there is an incredible amount of confusion in the world about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I was in the Philippines, we were in the Philippines for 5 years. It's primarily a Roman Catholic country, but there's very little understanding of the gospel. In fact, the entire 5 years of there, I continually asked people, how do you go to heaven? And I only got the answer right by one person who wasn't in one of the born-again churches. There's a confusion about how we go to heaven. And I remember we gathered together all the leaders. We were running a Bible school in a city called Pemba. We had 100 to 200 students every three times a year. They'd come in for 6 to 8 weeks, and they'd receive training, and we'd teach them, and then we'd send them back out. But a lot of those were students and not pastors, and we wanted to go into the interior of Mozambique. So we left there after 2 years of being in the Philippines. We went to the interior of Mozambique where other missionaries weren't, and we started working in a province called Zambezia. And in Zambezia, we invited all the top leaders to come together to be able to receive. We're going to teach them inductive Bible study, how to teach the Bible, how they can teach the Bible to their other pastors so they could teach it. We invited them in, started teaching the seminar. Everybody enjoyed it. They are hungry there to hear things that are spiritual. But at night, we'd sit down and interview them. Lorena would interview a group. I'd interview a group. And we'd say, oh, how long have you been a pastor? Oh, I've been a pastor since blah, 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 year. Oh, when did you become a Christian? I entered the church in 2005. That's the answers we got. Oh, I entered the church in 2006. I was converted to Comunhão Nicolaita in 2007. Converted to, I don't want to hear anybody say I've been converted to Calvary. Calvary's wonderful, but I don't want to hear it. 18 top leaders. These are the leaders over the leaders over the leaders. and they brought one other leader with them. So there was about 36 of them. I think three people got the answer right. How do you go to heaven? Because once they started saying, I entered the church in 2005, we thought maybe there's a little of a confusion here. When did you become a Christian? How do you go to heaven? And the most common answer, go to church, get baptized, obey the Ten Commandments. Most of them said, you do more good than bad. That is a common misconception in the world today, even in the church. Well, the church, the structures, the organization of the church, there is a lot of confusion. How do you go to heaven? I was baptized. How do you go to heaven? I obey the Ten Commandments. How do you go to heaven? I'm not sure I'm going. Now, America, I think, is by far at least one of the most educated churches in the world. We have more information, learning, understanding. And even here, if you go on to the Barna Group, I think it's got a little website. They do all this research on churches. And of the churches, of the people that are born again, who say they've received Jesus Christ, you can go down there. And this is the cream of the crop, the ones that actually go to church and have been impacted. And you go down there, and 5% of those people think they're saved because they're baptized. Another 5%, you can go to that website and look, another 5% think they're going to heaven because they obey the Ten Commandments. 15% of that same group aren't sure if they're going to heaven or not. Even in America, among those who call themselves born again, who have accepted Jesus Christ, there's confusion. And I think the two things in the world that are needed more than anything else, and the two things that I need to be doing as a minister of the gospel more than anything else, are helping people to get to this place, because the problems in the world are the same as the problems in the church. They stem from two things: a lack of understanding and a lack of faith. And there is a lot of confusion when it comes to the gospel. And so we found that we need to do inductive Bible study. We need to teach how to teach through the Bible, but we've also got to present Jesus to them. I was sitting around with a group, and there were seven of them. They basically, this group had come to us because they had all of this roofing material, metal roofing material, that was stolen from them. And they were going to put it on top of their church, and they were all excited about it, but then the money for it was all stolen, and they were very upset. And we were going to go there and do a women's conference. Lorena and one of the other missionaries was going to go there, and I had them all sitting around, and we were estimating how much it would be to replace that roof, and we get them a roof, and we want it on before the women's conference takes place, and we were discussing it. But let me ask you first, because we need a good foundation for this church. And I said, which one of you is the preacher? There were seven of them there, the seven leaders of the church. And they said, he's the preacher. And I said, how do you go to heaven? I always ask that question now. How do you go to heaven? You guys know. You got a problem, you repent, you believe. Okay. How do you go to heaven? He starts talking. Literally, he talked for 3 minutes. And I never heard the name Jesus. Now, when you don't hear the name Jesus, you know the answer is wrong. Okay, just so you know. How do you go to heaven? If you don't hear Jesus in the response, they don't understand the gospel. Everybody understands that, right? Pretty simple. Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So I said to him, all seven. I said, well, let me just ask all seven of you. Let's just leave that there. I kind of cut him off. He was still talking about the things he has to do in order to go to heaven. I said, let me ask you, if you only could use one word or one name to describe how you go to heaven, what would it be? And I let him wait a whole solid 2 minutes before the other missionary got a little frustrated with me and yelled out, Jesus! I said, just one name. You only get one name. What would it be to go to heaven? There is a lot of confusion. And we found that in Mozambique, one of our biggest tasks is to do evangelism in the church. And I want you to know that same confusion exists all over the world. I think there's literally I can prove it, hundreds of millions of people that are in the church that are ready to receive, are ready to learn, who go there regularly, who do not understand how to go to heaven. And that is a great tragedy. Well, this is why Romans was written. Romans was written so everybody would understand the gospel. The first chapters all the way through 12 is about the gospel. It's not about you doing good works. It's not about being circumcised. It's not about following the law. It's justification through faith. And that's what these opening words have. And it says here, therefore, since you have been justified, that's just as if you'd never sinned, through faith, we have peace with God. Peace means there's no more hostility between you and God. I want you to know that today, there is not one bit of hostility between you and God today. None. Why? Jesus already paid the price. Jesus already did it. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith. Faith is believing what you can't see. Okay, I believe it. I believe Jesus. I believe who he is, what he did for me. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Grace is all the good things that we receive from God. All the good things. Mercy is he forgives our sins. Grace, he gives to us. He gives us a future, a hope, blessings, all that we need for life and godliness. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So today we all have this hope of glory. And this is so much on our hearts when we go and we teach new areas. We have now been put in charge of all of central Mozambique. There's this large country. It is as long as the western United States. It doesn't seem like it, but take a globe, you take the western United States with your fingers, you spin it around, you go to Mozambique, it's the same distance. Huge country. We minister up to the north, we have to drive 18 hours to get to the north. To go to south of Mozambique, we have to drive 14 hours. It's a huge country. It's very long. Where we were in Zambezia was a huge province, several million people. But we're now working in four provinces. In that whole central region, we're working with a church. Most of them are confused about the gospel. And the only people that are telling them and teaching them is us. And we're working with, we don't have the exact number, but around 1,000 churches. And the discipleship of those churches is our responsibility. So we're trying to go into every one of those districts. It's 66 districts because there's provinces, districts. We're trying to go into all those areas to be able to tell them this is the gospel. So we knew we couldn't do it by ourselves. So we now have six teams that go into those areas every month. We wrote books. My first book was not inductive Bible study, which I would have liked to have written. It was, who is Jesus? Chapter 1. Chapter 2, what did he do for us? Chapter 3, how do you receive Jesus? Chapter 4, faith versus works. Chapter 5, very, very basic. We've made these books. We've printed them out. We write out all the scriptures because no one has a Bible. It is so weird seeing, again, in a country where people do not have Bibles. But again, sometimes it's a heart. They'll get a cell phone, which you can buy for about $17, but they won't buy a Bible. So we've been able to distribute Bibles, but we've been able to distribute now 25,000 of these little booklets that we've been doing seminars, because we do six seminars every month. We bring in all the leaders, and we teach them how to teach this booklet to others. So we never teach a seminar where we don't at least teach them how to teach others. Because our goal is to fill Mozambique with the Word of God. So there's understanding, and through that understanding, they can have faith. Now, when I was pastoring in the United States, before we decided to go to Mozambique, that was the word I got from the Lord. The word from the Lord for me was, when I felt a confirmation to go over there, is there's a famine in the land of Mozambique. I think there's a famine in the world today. There's a famine in the land of Mozambique. It is not a famine for food or drink. It is a famine from hearing the word of God. Understanding, and through that understanding, faith. It's the most glorious thing that we get to do is to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ and give a people that are in poverty a hope and a future. And I think the people in Mozambique, though they are so amazingly poor, one day they are going to be wealthy beyond probably many, many people in America, in heaven for all of eternity. I don't care if I'm at the door, but I think some of those people are going to be in the very front that have suffered so much in this life. So, the gospel is preached. We need to understand it. We have this hope. Now, hope, if you understand the word, the hope means a confident expectation of good things to come. We should all have today a confident expectation of good things to happen this afternoon. We should live that way. We should live in hope. God has said that he'll work everything together for good. So that means this afternoon when you leave this place, God has a hope. We should have that hope, a confident expectation of good things to come. God's got a plan for you in this life, throughout your life, and in all of eternity. Now, in that, though, we do suffer. And every time I say that, I understand there are people here that are going through horrendous trials, have gone through, are going through, or in the future will go through difficulties. And the Bible goes on to say, and we need to understand and understand this, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. We need to understand We need to understand that bad things produce amazing things in us. Now, I shared this at first service. This happened a week ago Friday. I was in Oregon. And I don't know why they have these demonic bees in Oregon, but literally this group of bees swarmed and chased me. I don't want to add any spiritual significance to this, but these demonic bees, they came chasing after me, literally. And I looked like one of those people from the cartoons, you know, when that big swarm of bees come and they got to run and jump in a lake or something. I had my hat. I was swiping it back and forth trying to get them. One of the bees got in my hat. When I put it back on, it was crawling up here. That would have been funny, except for I got stung right here, right here, right here, and right here. And I took this one out, this one out, this one out. And my son had to take this one because I couldn't find it. And he pulled it out. And I thought, that wasn't so bad. Well, it hurts a little bit, but not too bad. About 4 hours later, I had to take off my watch and my ring because my hand was all swollen up. My arm was all swollen up. And I go, oh, no, I'm going to have to get some kind of shot or something, some kind of anaphylactic shock or something. That thing hurt for like 3 or 4 days. Now, it's a small trial, right? Now, we're supposed to count it all joy when we encounter various trials. So we're supposed to count it all joy, right? Because we're going to get perseverance and maturity and endurance and hope. I got stung by bees and it hurt. How much growth took place? Not much. I mean, come on. I just got stung by bees, you know, and I wasn't even all that happy. And you know, the amount of growth, you've got to think, I got stung by bees, but I have to have faith and I have to have understanding, right? Now, if I have faith and I have understanding, then I have to believe that every bad thing I go through, well, everything I go through works together for good, but every bad thing I go, every trial I go through produces some maturity in me. But not much, I don't think. I've had some bad things happen. I'm not sure I've just grown all that much. Which leads us to something that I think is so important for all of us to understand. This is really critical. If we're going to understand and have joy and hope in this life, a little bit of spiritual growth is worth more than gold. Do you know the Bible actually says that? A little bit of understanding is worth more than silver and gold, fine gold, jewels, precious jewels. The Bible says a little bit of understanding. Because in the kingdom of God, if we have understanding, a little bit of spiritual growth is more important than this life. More important than if I gain 3 pounds. More important than if my job's not going very well. More important than any temporal thing in this life. We have to believe that because God said so. And we need to have understanding and we need to have faith. You know, our faith is more important than gold. And the scriptures are full of learning that if we go through trials, it will help us. Now, here in our scripture, it says, we're going to hope in the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Now, I wasn't rejoicing a whole lot getting stung by bees. I don't rejoice a whole lot when we've been robbed. I got introduced to church. This is so funny. I went to a church of some missionaries that we know that we have done ministry with, and he introduced me as the person who has had more suffering on the mission field than anybody I met. Thanks, Joe. Yeah, his name was Joe. When we were neighbors, he was robbed 43 times. I don't want to be introduced that way. I want to be that fantastic ministry growing, not the most pitiful missionary on the field. But we've gone through some difficulties on the mission field. It's not always easy to be a missionary, but God has done just some amazing, wonderful things. But here, we learn that we're supposed to rejoice when we go through sufferings. Because it develops something in us. Patience, perseverance. Sometimes it's on a very practical level. We were in Barcelona, Spain. We're on our way to go to see this church with these amazing structures in. And we're there and we're on the subway. We're going there. I step onto the subway. 2 gals are standing in front of me blocking the door. What are they doing standing here? I push through them, they run into me, and then I watch one of them jump off the train, and then I feel something coming out of my back pocket, and I grabbed it quick, and the other one jumped off the train, and the doors closed, and they were gone. I go, wow, they almost got my cell phone. They did take my wallet in my front pocket. So here we are. We're at Barcelona. We're there. How much money do we got? Nothing. Now we got to get back to where we started, where our rest of our ATM cards are and our caches and our passports. We got to get back there, and we got no money. And this was quite a long journey on the train. So I remember that. I go, God, praise God we didn't have our passports with us. Yeah, hallelujah. I only had one of my ATMs. Great, that's wonderful. I didn't bring much money. All right, great. How are we going home? So we'll just walk over to the other side because we haven't left the train place, right? And if you don't go out, you can just go on the other side and drive back. I go, all right, we can go back. We're so happy. And we just went on with our trip. Now, I would think that most people, when they get pickpocketed when they're in Rome, get kind of frustrated. We are so used to it that it's not a trial anymore. We just, praise God, we didn't have that. Praise God, we didn't have that. There is a point in the natural when you go through so much junk, when you've been robbed so many times, robbed in person, grabbing things from my wife, or robbed at gunpoint, or robbed with machetes. And if you've been robbed so many times, they've broken into your house so many times, you go, oh, wow, it wasn't violent. It was nice. It didn't take much. There's a natural element of suffering which gives you perseverance to be able to go through more things. Well, yeah, well, that one is bad as some of the other things. And you should see what happened to Fred. You know, sometimes you can just look at the other guy. You know, somebody's got it worse than you, right? So there's a natural level in which you go through trials and you grow. But there is something else that's happening, that every time you go through a trial, God is able to work it together in order to create something spiritual, in order to help you to grow. And a little bit of growth spiritually is more important than anything else. The Bible says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and lacking nothing. Romans 8:18 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. There's a glory that comes through a little bit of fruit that comes from suffering. In this you greatly rejoice. This is important. This is 1 Peter 1:6. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. They have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by the fire, may be proven genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. See, we need to understand that a little bit of understanding, a little bit of growth is more important than gold. Now, how many of you would like to win the lottery this morning? I want to. Yeah. I don't want to pay the dollar for the ticket. I'm not going to do that. But I'd like to win the lottery. I know they don't quite go together, but I'd love to win the lottery. I would. I mean, somebody wants to hand me $50 million, even if you have to put it over 20 years, I'll be happy with that. I'll put it to good use. I'm not going to just buy sushi with it or anything like that. Just for myself, I might have some good ministry things. But I'd like to win the lottery. And I think most of you would like to win the lottery. Now, when we can get to the point of understanding where winning the lottery is here and growing a little bit spiritually is up here, then we have the right mindset. Because God says that wisdom, understanding, they're more valuable than silver, gold, precious stones. More valuable, the little bit of growth that you go through the difficulties that you experience in this life are more important. Now, when you can understand that and get just as happy about that as you can about winning the lottery, there was some YouTube video. It was one of the saddest videos I've ever seen. The friends pre-recorded the winning of the lottery and made up a ticket on their computer that looked just like the winning lottery. And they sat around with their friends and they filmed it, and the guy goes, I've got 34, I've got 42, I've got 21, I won. He's jumping up and down, and they're all laughing at him because they had faked him. That's kind of mean, isn't it? But that guy was happy, I won the lottery, yeah! A little bit of spiritual growth, we should be happier. But we're not, why? Just because we don't understand, because we can't see. God can see, and he says, it's more valuable. This is infinitely more valuable. And so all those difficulties you've gone through are worth it. See, we need to get to the place where something spiritual is much more important. Remember, God asked Solomon, ask me whatever you want. That's a wonderful question. If God said that to you, ask me whatever you want. He kind of does, I want you to know. Ask me whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. I want wisdom to be able to rule over these people. Awesome. That's a wonderful answer. Just exactly what I wanted to see. Because you didn't ask for prosperity or long life or honor or wealth or possessions. I'm going to give you those things, but I'm also going to give you wisdom like nobody else has ever seen ever. See, that's the heart we need to have. What do you want from God? I want to grow. Now, I was at a church a few Sundays ago, and the pastor said, quite stupidly, I think, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that, right? I won't give you his name. But it was, the theological word for what he said was baloney. So the pastor said, now, if you suffer because you did something stupid, because you sinned, there'll be no value in it. That's what he said. It's your own fault. And I'm thinking, man, some of the best growth I've ever done in my entire life was when I did something stupid and I had to pay the consequences and God taught me through that. Don't do that stupid thing again. I think that's totally wrong. Everything we go through is difficult, even if it was self-inflicted, which many times it is. God is there because he's gracious and caring and works. Now, the last 4.5 months, we had horrendous trials. That's what made me think of doing this message in Mozambique. It was a very gracious God. We went to this meeting, a large meeting, an international conference we went to, and the head of the conference, there were 6,000 people there, said, Brian, Lorena, I want you to come to the front. And he said, I want you to know that you guys have started in the middle of a giant spiritual warfare. It's not small, it's something big. And you guys are going to be suffering, and you're going to go through difficulty, and it's going to be really hard, and you're going to want to quit, but just stick with it because God's got great plans for you. Great word. Maybe he doesn't know God. I mean, I don't want to hear about I'm going to suffer, you know, and it's going to be difficult. And we went back to our seats. It doesn't feel like, and we said, it doesn't feel like we're in the middle of a spiritual battle. Well, the next day, huge spiritual battle started where a group of pastors got together and tried to get us kicked out of the country. And we had like 5 meetings of government officials from the Department of Justice, from the Department of Religion, and they all came and they all screamed at us because they got this letter about what bad people we were and all the bad things we were doing. One meeting lasted 5 hours in which they went around the table and yelled at us, and they would not let us speak. It was a horrible time. Oh, this is terrible. Same time, the same 4-month period, I had malaria twice. So I was kind of worn down and not feeling very good. And then at the same time, the Department of Customs seized my car documents so I couldn't use my car for 4 months. 4.5 months I couldn't use my car because you're not allowed on the road without your documents. They seized my documents. They said, this is because not enough customs was paid on your car when it entered into the country. How come? Because somebody must have falsified some documents and there was corruption involved. Corruption by who? The Department of Customs. Who are you guys? The Department of Customs. Isn't it your problem? No, that was Maputo. It's another town. What do I need to do to resolve this? You need to pay us $1,500 and we'll take care of it. Will I get a receipt? No. So you're telling me that your corruption, that the corruption that was done by the Maputo office can be resolved by the corruption here at the Bear office. How dare you accuse us of corruption? $1,500, no receipt. After 1.5 months, they went down to $1,000. We had to wait 4.5 months before we could finally resolve that. So we got no car. I've been sick with malaria twice. 5 meetings where the government officials are yelling at us, trying to kick us out of the country. And then at the same time, Lorena lost feeling in one of her legs. And she couldn't sit for more than 5 minutes. And we were going to be flying to the United States, which is like 34 hours of flying. We were talking about, we'll get a row of seats across and you can lay on top of us. And that's what we were thinking. You know, how is she going to, she can't sit for more than 5 minutes without being in huge pain. Okay. And the worst of it was not that. In fact, all of those are minor compared to the fact that my son got malaria. He came this close from dying. His liver shut down. His kidneys shut down. And we thought he wasn't going to make it. And I remember being in the hospital. He was just, the doctor's going, I don't know. If he's, the doctor was horrible. I don't know if he's going to make it. This is really bad. There's blood in his urine. Oh, this is even worse. Right in front of him says, I don't know if he'll make it through the night. I mean, at first he was incoherent, but when they got him on IVs and they got him taking the medicine, all of a sudden, you know, he was a little bit conscious and all he gets to hear is the doctor say, I don't know if he'll make it through the night. That was the hardest. 5 days, I slept on a little cot in his room in the hospital. Luckily, we had our own private room because we could afford that. That was by far the worst of all the trials. I mean, if I'm sick, fine. But my son, oh man, he was that close. And it just came on him so fast, and he went downhill so fast, and you know, he was breathing hard. He was not, he could not focus or concentrate because it had become cerebral malaria, and it was bad. Of all the trials, that one was by far the worst. We're going through all these trials, and we're trying to remember. Okay, we're going to come out on the top, and then we're going to come out on the bottom. God's going to work it together for good, and we need to rejoice. And it's hard to rejoice when those things are happening. It's hard to go, hey, I'm rejoicing because I'm growing this much. Because all we can see is what's in front of us. My son's dying, you know? And one time I was walking, this was before my son got sick, I was walking back from the front gate after they took my car documents, and I was not feeling good at all. And then we had a meeting like the day before in which they yelled at us for hours, and I'm walking back, and we've got these really tall mango trees, really tall. And this big mango fell like three stories and hit me on the shoulder. I felt this is about what life's doing right now. The mangoes are hitting me from above. And you know, you see the problems, you see all these things happening to you, and you focus on those, and you don't see that God is with you. You don't see that God loves you. You don't see that God is working this together for good. You don't see that what that little bit of spiritual growth is more important than gold, even gold refined in the fire. It's more important than those things, and you don't see those things because you're in the middle of life. And what makes us have hope and joy and rejoicing is we see beyond that and we see God loves us. God cares about us. God is good. We have peace with God. We have a glorious future. Now, I want you to know at the end of that 4.5 months, almost to the day, everything cleared. It was amazing. I watched it. We were coming back. We came back on a Saturday to fly to the United States. Friday, we got our car documents back. It was the last day we could have got them back. Otherwise, it'd still be with the Department of Corruption. Customs, Department of Customs. They'd still be there. I was all better a week before. The feeling came back on my wife's leg, and she can sit as long as she wants now. She's sitting here. She's not spread out across, you know, the front benches or anything. Got our car documents back. The people who had turned us into the Department of Justice and the Department of Corrections, they did a thorough investigation of the whole situation and said, these missionaries are doing more than any missionaries we've been seeing that have come into here, and you guys need to leave them alone. And you need to get out of their churches and just quit bothering them, because what you've said is lies and you should never have brought that here. And we went in to apply for our next year for our visas, and it was the first time in history where they just signed the document and handed it right back instead of us waiting a week for bribes. And everything, we had a victory, and then Nate was perfectly healthy. He was yellow for about a week because his liver stopped working. And then after a few days, it was such a rejoice just to see his liver function come back and then his kidney function come back. The doctor was told that, well, we can always do, there's always kidney transplants and dialysis. That doctor, he was like the worst. He'd say that right in front of my son. I mean, let's come out in the hall and talk about these things. He was a very good doctor. We're very happy for him, but boy, he had no bedside manner. Oh, he's doomed. I mean, he was that kind of a doctor. But you know, and through that though, I mean, that was the first time, my son's 14, that was the first time my son said, Dad, will you pray for me? I mean, well, he just heard from the doctor, I'm going to die. And I was telling him about Jesus and how he loves you. And yeah, I believe all that, Dad. Yeah, am I going to heaven? Yeah, yeah. I mean, you don't get those opportunities. They open up because God knows, okay, we'll put him through these things and it's going to have a positive effect on his life for the rest of his life. When I was here a few years ago, I shared about our son Matthew, how he really grew. And he had himself hit in the face with a machete and a gun pointed to his head at one point while we were in the Philippines. When he was, I'm sorry?
Mozambique.
In Mozambique, I'm sorry. Say Philippines? Whatever country. Some country out there. Yeah, those countries, they're all the same. No, I'm just kidding. But he really grew through that experience. And I remember sharing that a few years ago. I said, you know, I don't know. I'm a father. Fathers say, my son never gets sick. If I had a choice, never sick. Okay? I'd say that. If I had a choice, never sick. No problems. never hit in the face by a machete, never threatened with a gun to his head, never. None of those things would happen. But our Heavenly Father is not like us. He loves us perfectly. He loves Nate and Matt, my other son. He loves them all more than I do. And yet he knows what they experience will not break them. It'll make them stronger. I don't know that. He does, because he knows the beginning from the end. It's who he is. He's a good God. He does great things. He knows how to take people through trials. He knows how that they will endure. He will not tempt you beyond what you're able to handle. And he will give you strength, and he will encourage you, and he'll give you perseverance. And you'll have even more hope than ever before. We have more hope now today than we did 4.5 months ago. We do. I mean, isn't that great? I mean, we didn't like become Superman. Now I don't have any problems. I say nothing but kind things to my wife, and I know how to perfectly raise teenagers. That didn't happen. I'm still that same fallen person, but I got a little better. And we need to understand that getting a little better is worth it. But if we don't understand that, it's hard to see, but a little bit of spiritual growth. And that should encourage us all, because a little bit of spiritual growth can come. You don't have to go through trials. You can read your Bible and get a little bit of spiritual growth. You can pray and get a little bit of growth. You can come to church and hear a message. People say, how do I remember what the sermon was about 4 weeks ago? How could it be helping me? It's helping you a little bit. You're growing a little bit. It's all worth it. And it's infinitely more important than the stuff of this world. The stuff of this world's nice, and yet it's important, and we've got to do it, but it's not as important as just growing a little bit, becoming a little bit more like Jesus, because somehow that is going to affect us in glory. I consider that the things we go through, they're not worth comparing with the glory to be revealed in us. And I think part of that glory is the suffering we got and the growth that we endured. We're going to experience some kind of blessing in heaven for all of eternity. And if you take any number and you times it by infinity, it's a big number. Right? I mean, everything here is temporary and small. And so we went through those difficulties, but God brought us through that. We're still here. God's still on the throne. We got rid of some corrupt leaders, and the Department of Justice now loves us, and my son grew, and I grew, and that's what's important. And so we need understanding, and we need faith to believe that, because in this life, I think the two things we need to understand all the time is that God is good and he loves us. And when we go through trials, we think, God's not good. Otherwise, why would this happen to me? And bad things happen. When I preach this message, people always come up to me and say, yeah. And they'll tell me about somebody a close loved one that just died or has cancer or something. I know that people are going through horrendous difficulties. So it's not just God works everything together for good, kind of a little catch-all. It's the truth. That through these difficulties, God's with you. He loves you. He's working out something in there that is more precious than gold, even fine gold. We need to have that understanding. Well, the final thing I just want to close with is in these last verses here. It says, So, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, we're powerless to save ourselves. When I get the wrong answer from these people saying, well, you got to be a good person, your good deeds need to outweigh your bad deeds, I want you to know you're powerless to do anything about salvation. You're powerless for God to be happy with you. You're powerless for God to say, I mean, he can say, well done, good and faithful servant, but you're going into heaven and marching in there because of Jesus. You are powerless to do anything about your sin. You are powerless to do anything about your unrighteousness. You still are. We're still people. I stand here as a person saved by grace, period. I need forgiveness every day. I need grace every day. You need forgiveness every day. You need grace every day. And the hallelujah, he gives it every day. Every day he gives it. He's ready to give it. He already did it. And he's already to display it to you. And he says, you were powerless, right? You see, it's just the right time. When you were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. He knows it. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. And that wasn't us. Though, for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While you were still sinners, Christ died for you. See, we need to walk in hope, confident expectation of good things to come, because God loves us. He's already made peace. He's already given us grace. He's already given us a hope of glory. Even in the trials we experience in this life, he's going to work it together and give us even more hope. And he demonstrated his love for us. A song that I heard a few weeks ago that I thought was so encouraging to me, it just says, You're a good, good God. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And in the song, they had to say it three times, just so nobody'd forget it. God is a good God. Amen? Amen. He's a good, good God. That's who he is. That's who he is. That's who he is. And we need to remember that. But we need to remember the second part. The song goes on to say, and you are loved by him. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. We need to walk in that. We are loved by God. We're his beloved. You fail. You do bad things. You know, my son is not perfect. Nate's not perfect. I can guarantee it. As husband and wife, we can say that our son, Nate, he's not perfect. But we love him. And that love is just teeny compared to the love of God for each one of you. Teeny. And you're greatly loved. You need to live in that. Every day you walk out of here, I'm greatly loved. I'm forgiven. I'm greatly loved. I'm going through a lot of crud, a lot of difficulties, but even that, God's with me. He's using it. He's working together good. And the spiritual growth for God is not a little smidge. I keep saying it's a little smidge, but in God's economy, it's gigantic. It's huge. And it's just so wonderful to know each day as we minister and go through difficulties and try to tell people about Jesus' love and forgiveness and try to get understanding to come in. It's so good to know that it's done for us. When Jesus said, "It is finished," it didn't just mean that he's done suffering on the cross. It means salvation is finished. It's done. It's a done deal. You're forgiven. You're loved. You have peace. You've got all the grace, which grace is things that you're getting from God for nothing, right? And we have a hope, confident expectation of amazing things to come. And I pray you'd leave here with that. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are a good, good God. It's who you are. Help us to remember it's who you are. Let us not forget it's who you are. And Lord, we thank you so much that for everyone here and everyone who calls on the name of Jesus, that they are greatly loved, and that's who they are. That's who each person is here. And I pray there would not be a single person that would leave here thinking, I'm not sure if I'm loved. I'm not sure if I'm forgiven. I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven. May they have a trust and a faith in you, that you're good and they're greatly loved. So thank you, Lord, for demonstrating your love to us. Thank you for this time. Bless each one in this church. Thank you for their generosity. Thank you for their love. Thank you for their care for Mozambique. Thank you for all the leaders of this church who have been so gracious in partnering with us. And we pray you bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.